Welcome to Courageous Leadership with Travis Yates, where leaders find the insights, advice, and encouragement they need to lead courageously.
Welcome back to the show. I'm so honored that you're spending a few minutes with us today, and I'm excited about today's guest. I think it's going to be unique. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be something that's going to interest everybody. Even though the initial topic, you may think to yourself, what's going on here? You're going to love it. I have Tom Rink on the show today. He's retired after 25 years as a Tulsa police officer, and he's now a full-time librarian working as an instructor for library services at Northeastern State University. I've got you listening now. You're wanting to know what this librarian has to tell you, and you need to wait to find out. Now, Tom earned his BA in criminal justice and psychology from Michigan State University. His basic and advanced peace officer certifications through the Council on Law Enforcement Education and Training for the state of Oklahoma, and his MLS from the University of Oklahoma. Tom has received numerous honors and awards, to include being inducted into the Special Library Association Hall of Fame, and he was a recent recipient of their Lifetime Achievement Award. I'm so honored to have him here. I drug him a little bit to get here, so we're going to give him some love here. Tom Rink, how are you doing today? So if you're a listener, I may have to get you on here, but I was actually wanting to get you on here anyway. I know it's not something you often do, but I think your story is so interesting, Tom. I just kind of want to just open the floor and say, here you are, you're a full-time librarian, but you had an entire life before this. Just kind of weave us through that. How did you get where you are today?
Well, it was a rather unique career journey. I was at the police department, like you said, and getting a little on the burned out side and thinking, you know, what else can I do with my life? I already had my bachelor's degree because that was a requirement for employment back when I was hired at the Tulsa PD. And I was thinking, you know, what else can I do? So I went back to school, had no clue what I was going to do. So I went to Tulsa Community College and took a career exploration course, which is a self-paced interest inventory, skills, aptitude, testing, all done online at your own pace. And librarian came out at the top of the list. And I hadn't even considered librarianship as a career because both my parents had been librarians, and who wants to do what their parents did? But it was unique, and I thought, well, okay, let's give it a shot. And I found out I could get my master's in library and information studies through the University of Oklahoma here in Tulsa without having to leave or go to the main campus in Norman. So I thought, well, let's give this a go. So I went on and earned my master's degree, never dreaming I'd get to use it at the police department, and finished my degree in the late 80s, early 90s, and decided to start my job search. I was going to, you know, leave the police department, start a whole new career. And then I got to the first library conference I went to and realized the salaries they were paying librarians. And I thought, wait a minute, I'm making good money at the police department. Let's find a way to put the library career on hold and use the pension from the police department to supplement my career moving on. And then I was approached at one point. Everyone on the police department knew I'd gotten my master's degree, and a certain major approached me and said, hey, Tom, I want you to come build a library for the police department. And of course, I just jumped right at that opportunity. And then they laid the bad news on me saying, well, we don't have a budget for a librarian, but we have a budget for a, what was it called then? Research and development, or planning and research, or something like that. So I was going to be a policy writer, but they wanted me to build the library for the police department in my spare time. So of course, I had a lot of spare time, and the police department was off and running with a library. I had no funding at first. And then after a couple years of no funding, I put up the ultimatum saying, hey, you brought me up here to do this job, but I don't see any support here financially for the building of a library. And the major said, well, just hold on, give us another year, we'll make this happen. So I just happened to be reading the paper one day and saw that the police department had received a sizable amount of money in drug forfeiture funds. And the chief was quoted as saying he didn't know how he was going to spend it. So I just dusted off my proposal, sent back up the chain, my budget was approved, and the library became official. And then I used that to get me through the rest of my career at the police department before I retired in 2007, and then switched over to the academic realm, where I'm currently working as a librarian in academia.
Well, there's so much to unpack there, Tom, because you talk about a very a motivational thing where you were on the police department. And you knew that police department wasn't going to be forever. So you sort of build your resume while you're on the police department thinking you're going to do this. And then you land the ability to do it right there on the job. And I think that is a fascinating story because there's a lot of listeners out there that we've heard from that have interest in a wide variety of areas. And for some reason, law enforcement oftentimes is so hesitant to let people use those skills. And I think I have a theory behind it, but you ran across a major division commander. So they were running a division at the time. And I don't know. I hope you can tell me who that is in a minute. Cause I want to applaud them because he really was thinking outside the box, but he was also doing something else that I believe was probably true. If that major would have gone to the chief and said, "Hey chief, we want a librarian," he would have been laughed out of the room. Cause I've been in those conversations where you think outside the box a little too much for a police chief and it's not going to work. So I bet what he did, Tom, I'm just guessing here. He went, "Hey chief, we need a research and development and a policy writer." "Sure." And then to entice you to do the job, he gives you that carrot, right? Which is what you did, but that's all you need. That's the only spark you needed to make this happen. Tell us about how important it was for that leader, that commander, to just take charge of this, to say, "This is needed. I'm going to find the best person to do the job." And by the way, I'll speak from my personal experience. That's how Tom and I know each other. He was, to my knowledge, the first police librarian in the country. And I spent lots of time with Tom because I'm sort of a book nerd as well. And Tom is a great, humble guy. That's why he's a little bit hesitant to be on the show. He doesn't want to talk about himself, but I think the story is important. How important was that one person, that one leader, that one commander to say, "Tom, we're going to make this happen"? How important was that for you at the time? Because you were already burned out. You were already thinking about leaving.
Well, it was very important in that it gave me an opportunity to use my degree that I had just acquired in a real life situation where I actually built a library from scratch where nothing existed before. And so it gave me all these, not just the soft skills, but the hard skills, the librarianship skills that I was going to need moving on in my career after my retirement to make me job ready for the future, for the next career after I got out of the police department. So it was invaluable for me as a person, and also invaluable for the police department as well, because the fact that I was building a library, yes, we had a library, but even more important than that, it was a bricks and mortar library. I had shelves, I had books, I had all this, you know.
You had a great series of videos as well.
And training videos, and I was just housed at the academy, but what it brought was, very few people came and visited the library themselves, but they called me or they emailed me and used me as the resource. So I was kind of like we had a resource center, but I was the resource guy. So from anywhere from the chief's office down to the foot patrol beat officer, I was getting phone calls for information, and I became the information professional for the police department. And it was invaluable for me, for the department, and for my future career as well.
So this commander kind of lit your flame a little bit. Do you mind telling us who it was?
It was a she, not a he. It was Carolyn Kusler.
Okay. Well, that's pretty amazing because we're talking, what, early 90s here? When did this happen, Tom?
I think 94 was officially when I went up to the academy.
Well,
you
must have been the sole member of the Police Librarian Association, right? I mean, I have to be pretty unique in law enforcement at the time.
I was not able to find too many peers at all. I know St. Louis had a library, but it wasn't a sworn officer. I think it was a civilian. But very, very few police libraries. A lot of police departments had planning and research or research and development units, but very few of them, I could find no other that had an actual library with a functioning library.
Well, and the reason, and I personally witnessed this success. And the reason that initial idea was successful is they put the right person there. We make this mistake a lot. You know, somebody champions an idea and maybe it's a great idea, but if you put the wrong person there as the first person, it's a problem and it probably won't sustain itself. Now you could mess up on the second or third person that's there because it's already been established, but if the first person doesn't bring it, and that's why it's important from a leadership standpoint to find the right person, get the right people on the bus. And it's so awesome to hear that there was one person that recognized that said, "This is an idea that we need." And of course, as you said, it was used quite often, but as leadership happens and leaders come and go, commanders come and go. How did you find that support throughout your tenure up at the library, Tom? You finished your career out there. So this is roughly 10 or 12 years you were there. did you find that support grew, or did the new people come in and didn't see a need for it? Did you have to keep justifying for it?
The support actually grew. I never had to justify myself after that, those first few years. But the first few years, I had to beg, borrow, and steal to just get funding and permission to buy something. And it wasn't until later on that I was actually given a purchasing card of my own that I could use to purchase materials up to a certain dollar amount each month. So it blossomed. And the people, once I got in and started doing the job, I think whoever came in, the leadership roles following Carolyn, saw the benefit. They saw the value I was bringing to the department and to the information process and to, you know, research, or if they needed the specs on such and such for a new policy coming up, I could, you know, contact other departments and survey them and find out, you know, get the information we needed to make the right decision using the best information available.
You've been out of law enforcement for a number of years. You've seen sort of the environment that's occurred. I know, you know, leadership is important in what you did, but how important is leadership today compared to back when you were doing it? Because you've seen the ebb and flows of the profession. Do we have leaders that are still out there pushing the envelope, trying to do things the right way, out of the box, resources for officers? Because this was a pure resource for law enforcement. Like, there were hundreds of officers reaching out to you nonstop, getting stuff. I know you mentioned you had a purchasing card. I think you used that for me a few times because I wanted a couple of resources. But how important is that leadership component, Tom? Because you would have never done this on your own. Like, you had the skills, you had the ability, but it took somebody to champion that, because obviously you're a leader in your own right, but you didn't have the authority to make that happen. So how vital is leadership today? I think everybody's going to know that answer, but I just want to hear your perspective from it.
Well, that's an excellent point. I didn't have the authority. You know, I had the expertise, but no authority. How often does that happen in this life? But having that first champion was critical. And then once I was able to prove myself and have that success, then the replacement leaders or the next leaders or whoever else was coming up the pike could see that value. So it's important. Not all leaders have the same level of championing certain causes. If it's not their pet project, they don't always want to see the value. But once again, once you've been in a position and established and have a track record, so to speak, then they couldn't really argue with the fact that it was an effective use of a person, time, resources, so forth and so on. So having that kind of an open-minded leadership and if it's not broke, don't fix it kind of hands-off policy, with regard to, you know, this is valuable, can be a critical, mission critical for a police department.
If you're just now tuning in, we're talking to Tom Rink. He is a retired police officer and a full-time librarian, and he's just told a fascinating story about how one of the first libraries at any police department in the country happened, and it happened because one leader, this happened to be a commander, championed the idea of having a library and found the best person to do it, which was Tom, who had just gotten his graduate degree. And so Tom was the resident expert. He wasn't able to use that skill. They had this commander had this idea. They put the right person in place. And because Tom made that so good, because he championed that so well, it was very difficult for anyone else to come through and to get rid of that. And so much good. I'm just amazed, Tom, of how valuable. It's hard to describe how valuable it was because most people listening were not involved in this. But as an instructor, as a trainer, as a police officer, you were always so valuable. And I thought it was just the best idea ever to have that. And of course, most people wouldn't understand that. But it was literally probably one decision by one person, and it all just happened for many, many years. So that power is in the hands of everybody in law enforcement today. And Tom, let's just say you didn't have somebody champion it. You were probably still going to do much of this work or even try to convince people to help you do this work. So you have somebody out there right now listening, and they're an expert in a certain area, or they see a need for that in the police department. I'll make this up. Maybe somebody's a videographer, right? And they think their police department has a need for that. What would you say to that person that maybe they, obviously they're a leader, obviously they have the expertise, obviously they have the skills, but maybe they don't have the authority to just make it happen? Is there any advice you could give them?
First and foremost, if you can, and this isn't always possible, but if you're able, try to find a champion in the management or leadership levels of your department and see if you can't run your idea past them and get them to buy into it first. Because it's so much easier if you have someone up in the command structure at the decision-making level that understands you, what you can do, and what you could bring to help champion your cause. If that person does not exist, then I would find a way to, like I said, I was a policy writer. I was just doing the library stuff on the side when I had a spare moment here and there, and was doing policy writing predominantly and other planning and research functions or other tasks as required whenever they're asked from the top down. So always try to fit it in without obviously getting yourself in trouble. As long as your immediate bosses know what you're doing and they're okay with that, then they're going to see the value, and eventually maybe that champion will come around, or they'll become that one spark or that moment where what you've been doing on the side is used or valuable, and someone says, oh, wait a minute, you can really do this. Well, we need to, you know, make that more full-time, or find a way to make this happen on a more regular basis or something along that line. So that's the best I can say, is find a champion. And if not, just keep hammering away in your spare time, and it'll get you where you need to be.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best advice anyone could get, Tom. Thank you for that. Just find a champion. And those folks that are listening that are thinking about this, you may have to understand, just like Tom, you're going to have to do double work for a while. I'll give you one quick personal example. Is I thought there was a need for a downtown enforcement unit, pretty large downtown area where I worked. We didn't have any officers dedicated downtown, lots of businesses. And so I went through the proper channels to try to get approval for 4 officers to dedicate to downtown, more of a customer service role, but then to obviously make sure the businesses are taken care of down there. And I got told no and got laughed out of the room. And so I didn't really have a champion, but what I ended up doing, Tom, similar to what you probably would have done if you didn't have that champion, was is I did it anyway, but the guys had to kind of do double work. Okay, you're going to do your other job, but we're going to also focus on this and put some things together, put an email together, put a way for everybody to contact everybody and kind of get some focus on the area. Well, what ended up happening was is the businesses liked it. The businesses got back to the decision makers, i.e. the politicians. Next thing I know, I'm getting a fairly angry phone call from one of the chiefs saying, well, put out a letter to make it a regular unit now that you've done this. Well, so, okay, I accomplished it. Didn't make them very happy because I didn't really go around them. I just saw the need and you know, the guys were working double duty. They were working their regular jobs and that at the same time. But then we were able to branch it off, sit like you did later in your career, Tom, and do more full time of that work. And so that's so important. You may not have a champion today, but stay humble, keep working, keep your expertise up to date, and you probably will have a champion later. Somebody will see that, and it just takes one person. That's what really people need to be listening to when they hear this show is you can make a difference. There's one commander, you said her name, Carolyn Kuessler, is the only reason, Tom, that the Tulsa Police Department had one of the first libraries in the country, and you helped out hundreds and hundreds of people, and that you are now really a foremost expert around the country and doing this full time. But if that one person wouldn't have done that, there's no telling where you would have ended up. I mean, you probably would have ended up being a librarian somewhere, but you wouldn't have been able to present your resume saying that you ran a police department library for this many years, you know. So that changed your life, didn't it? That one leader.
It sure did. And I was eternally grateful for the opportunity. And like I said, I never dreamed I was going to be able to use my library degree at the police department. And then this opportunity presented itself, and I just jumped at it with full force and effort as I could.
Well, and I cannot detail to the listeners of how good you were at it, how important it was for the department, because people hear library, what are you talking about? Well, you just don't know. You had to actually experience it. It's always, Tom, in my 30 years of law enforcement, it's always been one of the most impressive things I've been around. And I saw the work you did. I saw how oftentimes nobody, you know, it had to have been lonely at times because you're kind of like the library guy in the back of the building and nobody's coming up there to visit you because it's sort of a long drive for everybody. But I mean, you had an online resource way back before we had online resources. I remember going to the internal net and seeing all of your library resources that you could grab, and you had a little button. If you wanted something, we could ask you about it. I mean, you probably don't know this, Tom, but it made me much better, and it made so many other people much better. So that's because of you, but it's also because of that leader that championed that idea that said, I got the right person for this job, Tom, take care of it. And you went after it. So, on behalf of myself and so many others, thank you so much. And thank you for discussing it. It's important for people to understand the lesson here is we make our police departments better by reaching into the expertise that are already in the police department. And so if you're somebody with expertise, make it well known, not in an arrogant way, but just that you want to help the police department get better. And if you're somebody that wants the police department to get better and you do have that authority, you ought to be talking to every officer, finding out what they do when they're not at work, because you're going to find the expertise to make that agency so much better. And Tom, you certainly did that for the Tulsa Police Department. You did that for me, and I can't thank you enough for what you did and for being here today.
Always glad to be here, and thank you for having me on the show.
Tom Rink, I can't thank you enough for being here. And if you're listening, thank you. And just remember, lead on and stay courageous.
Thank you for listening to Courageous Leadership with Travis Yates. We invite you to join other courageous leaders at travisyates.org.